Well, good morning. It's good to be here. Amen. Amen. It is good to be here. You know, when the phone rings, it's not always good news, is it? Sometimes we get bad news on a phone call. But last Sunday night, I got a wonderful phone call from Irma, and she told me Ashton wanted to talk to me. And I talked to Ashton, talked to Ty, and they were ready to get baptized. And we were able to do that last Sunday night at about 10:30. And, you know, the zeal, the excitement that they had. You know, we talk all the time about how we need to teach new Christians, and we do. But church, there is a whole lot we can learn from new Christians. Don't miss that opportunity. Talk to them. Get to know them. They're wonderful, wonderful kids. I guess I can call you kids. Wonderful young adults. And we're so thankful for you guys and so thankful for your decision. And thank you for the encouragement that you are to us. And it's great to see Sandy Rayburn here today. It's wonderful to see you, the Groffs. Great to have you guys back. This is truly a good morning. And we're here worshiping God. We're here singing songs of praise. We just commune together with our Lord and Savior and with one another. And I tell you, it is a blessing, no matter where we are in life, no matter what we're struggling through, it is a blessing to be here this morning. And today we're going to start a new sermon series. And it is on wisdom. And we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs for the next few weeks. Are you wise? Are you wiser today than you were yesterday? Are you wiser today than you were last week? Are you wiser today than you were 20 or 30 years ago? You know, being wise in the ways of God can help us live lives that are more peaceful. It can help us live lives that are more fulfilling. But most importantly, being wise can help us live lives that are more pleasing to God. It's fitting that Christy did the back to blue thing this morning because I want to tell a story about a police officer. Police officer was walking his beat, and he was watching a guy up ahead that he thought was a little suspicious, and he wasn't quite sure what this guy was doing, and he had all of his attention focused on this man down the street when he felt a tug on his pant leg. And he looked down, and there's a little girl standing there, and she said, "Can you help me? I need some help." And the police officer was surprised, and he said, "Oh, yeah, sure, honey, what do you need? What's wrong?" She held out her foot, and she said, "Can you tie my shoe?" My mommy told me that if I ever needed to find a police officer, that if I ever needed help, I should find a police officer. My mommy told me that I could trust that a police officer would help me. Can you tie my shoes? Now, let's change the scene for a moment. Let's say you're driving down the road in a 55 mile per hour speed limit zone, and you're going 65 miles per hour. Now, no one in here would ever do that, right? Not me. But let's say, for the sake of argument, that you're driving 65 in a 55. And over the crest of the hill, you see a police car coming. What are you going to do? You're going to slam on the brakes, right? You're going to slam on the brakes. You're going to try to slow down. Because, let's face it, that officer's not coming in your direction to help you, right? You don't think that he's going to be able to overlook your indiscretion. You've been caught doing something wrong, and that police officer is there. Now, you don't know who's behind the wheel of that police officer, that police cruiser, right? It could be Dave Trader. It could be Jeremy Yost. It could be your neighbor or your friend who's a police officer. It could be one of the guys that we invite up here that work for the city of Hurricane that come to the back of the blue. I always hope I meet one of those guys if I ever end up in those situations. Maybe they'll remember. But we don't know who's behind the wheel of that police car, but it doesn't matter, does it? Your heart sinks because the presence of that police car in an area where you're speeding represents the hand of judgment. You've been doing wrong. And those situations make us afraid, fear. But you know what? God's word tells us some fear is a good thing. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord is mentioned 18 times in the book of Proverbs. And fear, we're talking about a respect, a reverence for God and who He is. And when you look at the book of Proverbs and you look at fear mentioned there, the majority of the verses talk about two benefits that we can have when we practice godly wisdom. And the first benefit is fear of God helps us avoid evil in our lives. There's evil out there everywhere, isn't there? Proverbs 8:13 says, "To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech." If I fear God the way He wants me to, then I'm going to try to avoid evil things. In fact, I'm going to hate evil things. But if I don't fear God, then I won't. I won't hate evil. I might even find myself embracing evil. Preacher tells a story of the fact of working with a non-Christian friend for many months to get this friend to come to church. And finally the friend comes to church and he attends a couple services and he hears the gospel and he's baptized into Jesus. And the preacher's thrilled about this and his friend and the decision that he made. And then all of a sudden the friend stops coming to church. And the preacher's bothered by this. And he goes and he visits his friend and he says, "Why did you stop coming to church?" And the friend said, "Well, I decided to quit church when one of your leaders got up to give a devotion. And I hadn't yet met this man at church, but I'd recognized him as a manager at the plant where I work. And at work, this guy's an evil guy. He's mean. He's crude. He steals anything that's not nailed down. He takes home tools and paper and anything he can sneak out of there. And if that guy's a leader at your church, then I don't want to be there." Now, when the preacher's friend realized who this leader was, he left. Now, I think we all agree that this is not the best way for this new Christian to have handled this situation, but that's not the point. I want you to think about this Christian leader. Was he a God-fearing man? No, he wasn't. Monday through Friday, he didn't care what God thought. He didn't care if his behavior out there in the world, in the workplace, turned people against God. Frankly, he didn't fear God. He didn't hate evil. In fact, he embraced evil. A God-fearing person will avoid evil like it's the plague. Fearing God properly helps us avoid evil in our lives, but it's a struggle because evil is out there everywhere. And a proper fear of God also leads us to a long life. Proverbs 10:27 says, "The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short." Well, how does that work? How does that work? Well, over here between the shrubbery is a wall socket. What is behind that socket? Not a trick question. What's behind the wire? Yeah. What's the function of the wall socket? It's electricity, right? There's power and wire behind that wall socket. Now, we can plug in a coffee pot and make coffee. We can plug in our phones and charge them. We can plug in a lamp or a computer or a television into that wall socket and we can have power. Would anybody disagree with me? No, right? We're on the same page. Okay. You could say the power in that outlet can add pleasure to our lives. In the hospital, you see all kinds of machines plugged in to the socket, and those machines preserve life. They help people breathe. They help people keep going. So the power behind that socket can provide pleasure. It can also provide life. Now, in my hand, I have a butter knife, right? This is the mystery of the butter knife. Everyone who's been up here this morning has wondered, why is there a butter knife on the podium? Now, what would happen if I plug this butter knife into this outlet? Well, my hair might frizz, right? My hair might stand up. But it could also stop my heart, right? So behind this plate in this socket is the power to add pleasure to our lives, is the power of life in some circumstances, but it's also the power of death, right? Y'all got nervous for a minute, didn't you? If I have the proper fear for that power, it will add years to my life by not having me do something like that, right? But if I don't have a proper fear of that power, then I won't. Now, I've never put a butter knife into a wall socket. Has anybody in here ever done that? No, I've never done that. Just the same way as I've never licked a frozen pole outside. I don't need to experience those things to know they're not good, right? I don't need to experience them to know that those are things of which I should be afraid. You see, when we fear God, we know there are certain things He hates. And if He hates something, I don't want to go there. We don't want to do those things. Because if God hates something, then that's good enough for us. What makes God angry about sin is that sin causes us so much pain. It causes us so much hurt. And even if my sin might not affect me directly at that time, it can hurt people that I love. I don't have to understand how it hurts people to know that it's bad. I don't have to understand how my sin hurts people any more than I have to understand how electricity can hurt me if I put the butter knife into the outlet. Let's say I see a little child trying to put the knife in the socket. What am I going to do? Am I going to stand here and explain to him the theory of electricity? No. He's not going to care. I'm going to walk over and I'm going to grab the knife. And then I'm going to put some fear into him and explain then that this could harm him. This could kill him. And if we love this child, that's what we're going to do. Have y'all ever had to do that at home? Maybe not over an outlet, but maybe over a stove or something of that nature. We do this because we want the child to think twice before they do something that's going to harm them. That is your God, church. He's not some heavenly being who's up there waiting on you to mess up so that He can lower the hammer. That's not our God. He is a Father who wants to protect you from evil. He is a Father, and if you're a Christian this morning, you are His child. And just like any parent, if He sees you, if He sees me doing something we shouldn't do, then He's going to do whatever it takes to get our attention. Hebrews 12, 7, 8 says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as His children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Proverbs tells us that fearing God the right way is healthy for us. A healthy fear of God leads to a change. It leads to repentance. It leads to becoming a Christian. If I have that kind of fear of God, then that fear protects me from evil. It makes my heart desire to do the things that pleases God instead of the things that don't. And it ends up in us living a lifestyle that adds years here. But far more important than that, church, it adds years there. Eternity. You know, you think about all the things we go through. You think about all the struggles we have, and we have many, church. Many struggles we go through. Some people know, many don't. Maybe some we've never even voiced, but we're dealing with internally. We all struggle. But no matter what, the only thing that matters at the end of the day, the only thing, is that when we can say, as Sandy wrote in her note this morning, her husband Don, our brother in Christ, he is at home with the Father. That is all that matters. This life can tangle us up. People tell us things. People hurt us. Our relationship with God, that's what matters. This kind of fear drives us toward God. It results in salvation. But just like there is a healthy way to fear God, there's also an unhealthy way that we can fear God. This is the kind of fear that actually drives us away from God because of the things we've done. And you know what? This is nothing new. This started way back in the book of Genesis, back with Adam and Eve, Genesis 3, 8, and 10. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." The Lord God called to man, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard you in the garden, God, but I'd sinned. I had eaten from that fruit you told me not to. I was going 65 miles per hour in that 55 mile per hour zone. I was ashamed, so I hid." If we continue in sin and when we refuse to fear God the way He wants us to, then we can end up fearing to be around God. And we seek ways to hide from Him, even though we know intellectually that's not possible. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret." In other words, if I do something that I shouldn't do and I fear God the way I should, godly sorrow is going to make me repent for those things that I've done. I'll be prompted to abandon my sin, to turn away from it. And this fear, this healthy fear, leads to life, eternal life. A life, as 2 Corinthians says, with no regrets. But 2 Corinthians also tells us worldly sorrow brings death. Worldly sorrow differs from godly sorrow in that our sinful fear of God makes us want to hide, makes us want to live our lives in the shadows. And maybe you've been there. Maybe you're there. This type of fear, though, doesn't lead to life. This type of fear leads to death. God does not want our fears to drive us away from Him. God wants our fears to drive us to Him so that we can be saved. That's what He wants. Now, there's one more aspect about fearing God. It is a reality that in this world, and we talked about this in Dave's class this morning, in this world, you will fear something. There are no fearless people. Everyone fears something. It is unavoidable to have fears. But God's Word tells us we have a choice as to what we will fear. We will either fear God or we will fear man. There are going to be times when we're afraid to stand up for what we believe in because we're afraid of other people. Maybe we're afraid of losing our job, or we're afraid of missing out on that promotion, or maybe we're afraid that we'll lose a relationship that we value, or somebody may not respect us the way we want. And sometimes we might be tempted to deny or at least backpedal on our faith. We're tempted to leave our Christianity here instead of taking it out there because of what other people may think or say or do. We fear rejection. But Jesus, and this is hard, Jesus does not mince any words in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will also disown before my Father who is in heaven." You know, a person who fears man will do or say or think whatever is necessary to distance themselves from God so they can be close with that person. Maybe find ways to not confess Him, or ways to maybe even deny Him, maybe through actions, not even words, because they fear man more than they fear God. But listen to this. If you get nothing out of this morning, other than me walking to an outlet, remember this. If you fear God the way He wants you to, then you do not have to fear anything else. If we fear God the way He wants us to, we have no reason to be afraid of anything out there. Proverbs 19:23 tells us, "The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble." Now, it doesn't say there won't be trouble. It doesn't say everything's going to be rosy. It certainly doesn't say everybody's going to like me. But it says, I will be untouched by that trouble. Don Rayburn is untouched by that trouble this morning because he's home with God. That's our goal, church. John Witherspoon said, "It is only the fear of God that can deliver us from the fear of man." And boy, isn't that true. When we have that fear, we can rest content, untouched by the trouble around us. Nothing can touch us. Nothing can harm us. Psalm 103:11-13 puts it this way, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him." God loves those who fear Him. He has compassion on us, just like a father has compassion on his children. Because God loves us and He's compassionate toward us, nothing here can touch us. He protects us just like an earthly father would protect his earthly children. Alex read for us from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 23 through 26. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. I love that. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord your God will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. There will be sudden disaster. There will be ruin that overtakes people. But the promise for us as followers of God this morning, the Lord will be where? At your side, with you, surrounding you. And your foot will not be snared. God is our confidence. When I fear Him, when you fear Him, and we seek Him in what we do, He's got our back. We don't have to fear things of this earth. We don't have to fear the angelic beings. You know, every time an angel appeared to someone in Scripture, what were the first words out of the angel's mouth? Do not be afraid. Why would those mortals not be afraid? The angels were sent to God-fearing people. And as powerful and as imposing as angel would be, if I'm asleep in my bed and an angel starts talking to me in the ways that Scripture portrays, my goodness, that's going to be a big deal, right? That's going to be a big deal. Audibly and knowing everything about me and explaining what I'm going through and how to handle it, like the angel did with Mary and Joseph and others, that's pretty imposing. That's a big deal. But the angels appeared to people who fear God. We don't have to fear Satan and his minions and all the things he tries to do to us. 1 John 5:18, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We don't have to fear when we leave here today what man will do to us. As Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're a Christian today, that is a promise. That is what it's all about. The present doesn't matter. The future doesn't matter. The past doesn't matter. Those things matter. I shouldn't say that. But we don't have to live there. We don't have to dwell there. We don't have to fear those things. Because we have a God who loves us. A God who saved us. And we can trust Him. We know He's there to protect us. When we fear God the way He wants us to, we don't have to be afraid of anything else. He didn't come to bring us that timid spirit, but that spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. That's His promise. That's His word. Do you believe His word? If we believe God the way we should, and we fear Him the way we should, then we're going to realize He is bigger than any storm we're going through right now. He's bigger than any struggle we're facing, or have faced, or will face, because they're coming. And we know we can trust Him, even in those storms. The question for us all today, who do you fear? What do you fear? Do you fear God? Do you fear the opinions of other people? You know, there are many people who fear becoming a Christian because they're afraid of what their friends or their family might say. There are many people who refuse to get baptized into Jesus and become a Christian because they're afraid of what their family might say or how people at work might perceive them. There are many people who put off being a Christian because they fear that they can never measure up. Guess what? Neither can I. Neither can anyone in this room. We need to say amen to that. Amen? None of us measure up. It's only by the grace of God that any of us can be saved. So if you're fearful this morning that you can't be good enough, that you can't be enough, that you can't do enough, you're right, you can't, but you don't have to. Jesus has paid the price. He wants your heart. He wants you to be obedient. He wants you to trust Him. It's only by the grace of God that we're saved. If you fear God this morning, realize this. He loves you far more than anyone else or anything else ever could. And He wants you. He sent His Son to die on the cross so that He could have you. And He wants you to come to Him. And when you become a Christian, He's going to save you. He's going to save you and preserve you in the storms of this life. May not take them away. Life may not be rosy. But He's going to hold you. He's going to be right by your side, like Proverbs told us. He makes you His child. And with Him, you can walk through this life. You can face those struggles. You can face those fears. Because you know you have a home in heaven. If you're here this morning and you've never become a Christian, do that today. Come to the front and confess you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Repent of your sins and be baptized where your sins are washed away, just like Ashton and Ty were last week, where you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You come up out of that water, the old person gone, the new person resurrected, saved, washed, with God's Holy Spirit dwelling in you. If you're not comfortable coming to the front, call us, talk to us. Make those phones ring with good news. That's what we want to hear, church. If you're here this morning and you have any need at all, the prayers of the church, something on your heart, we're here today. We're your family. And we want to help you through this walk. Because, church, that's why we have each other. We don't have each other just to get together and dress up and be here and sing songs. That's great. Church is great. I love it. Class is wonderful. But at the end of the day, we are here to glorify God and to help encourage each other on this walk. That is what it's all about. So if you're here this morning, you have a need, we want you to come now as we stand and sing.